You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
And welcome to Upon Further Review After Dark. Eddie Pascal here with producer Trav, and we're joined by the great KMM. And ladies and gentlemen, night one of the 2020 NFL Draft is in the books. The silver and black with two selections, and we thought that they were going to trade out of maybe one, possibly both. We'll get to that in a little bit, but the team ended up not doing that. They stood pat, selecting Henry Ruggs III, a.k.a. Hank Ruggs III at number 12 overall, and Damon Arnett, the cornerback out of Ohio State at number 19 overall. So KMM, let's get into it, brother. Let's start at the top. The first, I would say, five, six or so picks kind of go chalk, and we really didn't get that first 10 drama that I think we were kind of expecting and hoping for a little bit tonight.
Yeah, it all went kind of according to plan. Like, a lot of people had Miami moving up to trade for potentially a tackle or just to get a better chance at Tua. But literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 literally went how I thought it would go. It was, you know, Burrow, Chase Young, Jeff Okuda. 4, the Giants went tackle. 5, Miami went Tua, Chargers, Herbert. Like, everyone got what they needed. And then it all got interesting with us, as it always tends to do.
It sure did. And we were talking about this before we hit the hit that beautiful red button, or I should say Trav hit that beautiful red record button. But we're sitting there at 12, and by the grace of the Almighty, whether you believe in a higher power or not, all three of the quote-unquote big three wide receivers were on the board at 12. So we're sitting there going, all right, it's either going to be Hank Ruggs, it's either going to be Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb. Like, conventional wisdom, I should say, would suggest it's going to be one of those three guys. And I know that we had kind of discussed this earlier in the week, and we had a bit of a difference of opinion. Travis and I said it was going to be Henry Ruggs III. It was, so major shout out to us. But when we were discussing it, there really was no wrong pick there for the silver and black. Granted, they went wide out, but I'm curious what your kind of initial reaction to the pick of Henry Ruggs III at number 12 was, Kyle.
The longer I've had to marinate and absorb the Henry Ruggs pick, the more I appreciate it, because he is a top three guy. He was touted as that coming into the first round. Very talented player. But for the past few months, I've just been hung up on CeeDee Lamb. Like, I didn't think CeeDee Lamb would be there at 12 for whatever reason. And I thought I still think he's a complete wide receiver. An all-around playmaker, creates great separation from the line of scrimmage, even deeper down the field. But Henry Ruggs, as you said, has something that you can't teach, and that's speed. And then the AFC West, where it's all about speed, speed kills, you got to have that, and the Raiders haven't had that. So Henry Ruggs fits that mold, and he does more than just burn past defenders.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that's interesting to me, the one thing that I should say surprises me in kind of doing a little deeper dive on Ruggs since we made the pick a few hours ago, is this dude, and I hate this term, is so much, he's a sneaky athlete compared to what you think he is, because he's not a huge guy, right? Like, this isn't Larry Fitzgerald lining up out there. But did you see some of those highlights of him just yamming on people in high school in basketball? Sweet Jesus.
That up, his dunks are ferocious.
That was rude. It was rude and uncalled for, Hank.
Yeah, I mean, with that kind of athleticism, you could goal line fade. He can go up contested catches. I mean, the guy's acrobatic.
Yeah, and I think that, like you said, where the longer we've had to marinate on this, the longer we've had to kind of think about it and realize what this is going to mean for kind of the entire scheme of the silver and black's offense in 2020 and beyond, he fills a lot of holes, man, where he's that legit burner. You can move him all around the outside. You can put him on the inside. He's a kind of guy who can take a 2-yard little bubble screen, go 86 yards to the house. He's got that explosive playmaking ability that, to be quite honest, that we have lacked, especially last year. And that's no shot at Tyrell Williams. That's no shot at Hunter Renfro. Tyrell, as we all know, was a mother expletive warrior last year, battling through what he had to deal with. Hunter was banged up. Zay Jones came into the mix halfway through the year. And when you add a guy like Ruggs, he's going to make everyone on that offense better, not just in the wide receiver room, but everyone on that offense. I was talking to Marcel Reese earlier tonight, and he brought up a great point that having a guy like Ruggs now, and granted, he's not, you know, I keep using Larry Fitz as an example because my love of Larry Fitz is well documented, but he's not a Larry Fitz. He's not a DeAndre Hopkins in the sense that, you know, he is this huge physical guy, but what he's going to have to do, or what he's going to do, is that he's going to draw attention away now on the defense, and they're going to have to take guys out of the box, which means there's more room and more space for Josh Jacobs to feast. And that's something that I didn't even kind of enter my thought process when we were talking about the pick, but Marcel goes, then once he gets comfortable in playing in the NFL, if you're a defensive coordinator, you are going to have to give help to your corners. You're going to have to get people to watch him and be where he is. And when that happens, there's more room for Josh to do what he does. And we've seen this offense and what it can be when Josh is going and guys are feasting on the outside. So, man, I am very excited about Hank Ruggs 3.
Yeah, I mean, just to put on what you just said so eloquently, I mean, if anyone has to be excited about this pick, it's Josh. His former teammate joins him. And now he's going to get more room to work in the box. So it's up and up for Josh, you know, healthy offseason, year two in the system. Big things for him and Henry Ruggs III. Should we move on to the elephant in the room or no?
Yes, we can. I just want to one last parting shot for Hank Ruggs III. Can we just give a little bit of love to that gorgeous robe he was wearing? As a man who wears a robe on the regular, the fact that in his biggest moment, this is probably, I would say it's probably, if not the best moment in his life, it's top three for sure, that he elected to go beautiful cotton robe. Oh, nothing but respect for that move. Nothing but love and respect, Hank.
After I saw him wearing that, I just had visions of Raider Nation in the black hole in Las Vegas wearing robes at the start of the 2020 season. Just robes. Filtered all throughout the Allegiant Stadium.
Oh, I'd love it, baby.
It's going to be a beautiful sight.
I'd love it. And since things are getting hot in here where it's, you know, we're getting to that summertime heat, maybe they go silk robes. Listen,
ooh,
perhaps a...
Wow, that is sexy.
Perhaps a kimono of sorts.
I smell a marketing opportunity.
Oh, boy, man. People really got to start listening to our ideas more. I know that it's 11:30. But people need to start listening to these ideas because these are good ideas. But yes, KMM, let's talk about it. Let's break it all down. It's what everyone on the Twitter is talking about. It's everyone on the IG and the rest of social media. At 19, GM Mike Mayock and head coach John Gruden pull the trigger. And let's, before we actually talk about the pick itself, we had discussed a lot about the likelihood of the Raiders trading out of 19. And that definitely didn't happen. And I'm kind of curious, I would be interested to hear what the thought process, what the rationale was in staying at 19 and not getting out and picking up a second rounder for tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, your guess would be as good as mine, man. During Mike Mayock's post first round press conference, people were asking him, they're like, did you want to trade out of 19? Did you get offers to trade out of 19? He's like, yes, he called us, but nothing was initiated on our end.
That kind of surprises me a little bit, KM. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but it's, you know, if we know one thing about Double M and Grudog, they like picks, right? They like to stockpile picks. And I just wonder if there was an offer on the table for presumably to move back. I'm curious what the reason was to stay there and now not be on the board again tomorrow until pick 80.
Yeah, I mean, don't be surprised tomorrow if they use those three third-round picks to move into the second round also.
Yes.
So who knows? But the reason why I guess you're curious or why we're contemplating this is because we both probably feel like the Raiders could have drafted Damon Harrison probably second round. A lot of draft analysts.
Damon Arnett.
Yeah, wow. Who did I say?
You said the great Damon Snacks Harrison.
Wow. It's late. I'm exhausted.
This is Upon Further Review After Dark.
No disrespect to the great Damon Arnett, who is
a legend.
The newest member of our cornerbacks room. But there's the, you know, the thought that you could have traded back to potentially get him, just based on draft grades around the league, but nobody's grade matters more than Mike Mayock's. And he said, yes, in the eyes of some people, he was a day two kind of guy. But for our grade, we had him as a first round talent and we weren't going to let him slip through our fingers. So at this point, I mean, last year, NFL pundits were praising Mayock and Gruden for having the best draft class of 2019. And after one day, everyone's already saying, you know, what's going on? Why would you do this? Like, let's give them some respect. They've earned that right. Not that they care about anyone else's approval, because they don't need it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because realistically, and I know it's only been 1 year, but it was one heck of a year. And I think that last year's effort earns them the benefit of the doubt, for sure. Kind of like you said. And the fact that you and I, in the spirit of full transparency, because listen, we're pretty honest on this pod, and we never fancied ourselves quote-unquote football guys, but you and I didn't know a whole heck of a lot about Mr. Arnett coming into this evening. I think when you and I sat down and we mocked it out and we were kind of running through our exercises of who could be on the board there at 19, if we indeed elected to stay at 19, Mr. Arnett's name was not one that came up during those exercises. And that's not an indictment on him. That's not an indictment on what he's going to bring to the table. It's certainly not an indictment on Mike Mayock and the Grudog, because let's be honest, they know more football than 75 of us combined. But I think it's just, I think it's interesting in the sense that he wasn't a guy that we had talked about a lot, right? And the one thing, and kind of listening to Mike talk this evening, that I was really kind of impressed by and kind of gave me some peace in terms of the pick, is he said he was the most competitive, one of the most competitive guys in the draft. And you need that in the NFL, man. Like, you can't, especially if you're a corner, because let's be honest, if you're a cornerback, you will get burned in this league. I don't care if you're Deion Sanders, Pat Pete, whoever you are. I don't care if you're the best cornerback that's ever put on cleats. You are going to get burned in 2020. That's just the way it works. Why the way the rules are, and don't get me started on the rules and all that, but the way that things are set up, you have to have a short memory. You have to be uber confident. You have to be completely at peace with who you are as a player. And it sounds like Damon is just that. And he said it on the conference call. He said, listen, man, I thrive off that underdog mentality. He goes, you guys might not think I was a first rounder. You guys might be kind of scratching your head and being like, I don't know what's going on with this guy. He goes, I wasn't. I thought I was one of the best players in the draft. Not even a defensive player. I thought I was one of the best overall players in the draft. So you guys might not be surprised, or you guys might be surprised, but I'm certainly not.
No, not at all. And I think just a little bit about him. He's a physical guy. Mayock during the combine was going off on how wide receivers in college nowadays are looking over at the sidelines at their wide receivers coaches to give them the route trees, and just explaining how the transition from wide receivers to the NFL struggle. Like, they struggle to adapt with the physicality and pace of the game because their knowledge isn't where it should be. And also, they're not facing physical man coverage in college. It's a lot of zone. It's a lot of space for them to operate that's already given to them. In the NFL, they're going to have to create that space on their own. And Damon Arnett fits the mold of a physical cornerback who's always up in his opponent's face. So he clearly fits the mold of the Raiders. He's an NFL prototype size for a cornerback position. He's 6 foot. He's roughly 200 pounds. He's rangy. He'll complement Trayvon perfectly on the opposite side of the field. It doesn't look, I don't, at this point, I don't care about my own evaluations. I'm the junior draft analyst for a reason. Okay. I defer to Double M on all draft matters. So if he knows what's up, I trust him. I just want to see more. I think that's what everyone wants. Like, no one's hyped on this guy just because they haven't seen enough. Like, tell me one Raiders fan who is diligently watching every Ohio State snap.
There's some sicko out there. You know there is. There's some sicko.
I know
out
there is. But where is he? Like, I would love to see him talk to Mayock about why this wasn't the move. You know, like, no one has that knowledge.
Yeah, and I think just two things kind of before we get on to day two and what we're looking at for the next 48 hours is, I'm glad you brought up Trayvon, because you look at this now, at this Raiders secondary, and it's a young secondary, man, and this is a young man's game. So you got Trayvon on one side going into his second year. You got the great Damon on the other side, a rookie. We're getting John Abram back on the back end. It's essentially going to be his rookie year next year. You got Isaiah Johnson coming back into the mix. You know, like, this is a young core of guys that are going to have a chance to grow together, get better together. And I'm really excited to see what they're able to do. And Marcel, when I was talking to Marcel about this pick, he goes, the thing to remember too is the way the NFL is set up, and especially the AFC West, you need DBs. You need good DBs. And you don't need just one. You don't need just two. You need a handful of DBs. So think about it this way. Entering today, or this evening, I should say, when we started this NFL draft, the Silver and Black had needs. And you could probably make an argument that those two biggest needs were wide receiver and cornerback. Take the names out of them. Take Hank Ruggs 3, take Damon Arnett, take the names out of it. And the Raiders filled those needs. They got a top-end wide receiver, and they have a defensive back on the outside that they think they can plug and play with Trayvon Mullen, and they're going to be very happy with what he's going to deliver in 2020. So I understand the sentiment from fans who are kind of like, yo, like, what's the word with this guy? Like, I'm seeing all these mocks. He's coming in the second. He's going to the third. He's going wherever. Take the name out of it, because no general manager across the league, at least no good general managers, put a single cent, a single piece of their brain space into what the experts say in their mock drafts. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for you and I. We get to talk about it. We get to chop it up. We get to make fun of people. But the reality is, headed into day two of the NFL draft, two of the biggest needs on the roster have been filled. And I think that's a W. I really do, brother. I think that is a collective win across the board.
Yeah, there's a reason why the draft experts are sitting at a table debating the picks, and instead they're not in scouting departments or the ones making the decisions. It's easy to judge something from the outside looking in and claim that you're an expert, but you're not getting paid as if you're making the choices. So whatever, you're right. Don't put a single cent in what they're saying. My question to you, though, because you brought up an excellent point, names aside, the Raiders addressed the two biggest needs. Be happy with that, right? And Henry Ruggs is a baller. More from Damon Arnett, I'm sure we will. I trust the process. But going into day two, what are some of the positions that you want to see the Raiders draft?
That's a great question, man. I've been thinking about this a lot. I would love to add another linebacker to the mix. I would love another linebacker. And you know me, that I'm a big believer, I'm a big supporter in that the best teams fill up and dominate on the front end of things. So whether that's offensive line or defensive line, I would love perhaps maybe another interior lineman on the offensive side of things, maybe another DN defensively. I think those are kind of where my conversations would begin. I think you're rock solid at tight end. You could always add another wide receiver to the mix. But yeah, man, I love the big boys up front. Give me another tackle. Give me another guard. Give me another, you know, guy to get after the quarterback. And I don't know, man, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, we're kind of at this interesting space now, right? Where I don't know if, when you look at this roster, maybe linebacker aside, if there's a position where you're like, they need help, they're bad. Going into today, it was wide receiver, clearly. But I don't know after today if there's one where you're like, it's the flashing red lights and, hey, they got to get a guy, insert position group here. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's like, it's a weird feeling to look at the roster as a whole and be like, wow, I mean, there's a lot of depth at this position. There's a lot of optimism at this position. A lot of potential here. I think defensive line, especially on the interior, something that they should address. And I wouldn't be shocked if Gruden kicked the tires on a one Jalen Hurts.
I know you've been high on Jalen Hurts. I like Jalen Hurts a lot too, man. He's an intriguing guy. Very, very intriguing. He is a winner. You know how much I place a premium on winning, but I don't know, man. Like, it's weird because you don't, when you're looking at the roster, you don't really think of quarterback as a quote unquote position of need. But then to your point, like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we added a quarterback tomorrow. So it's...
Are people surprised that the Packers selected Jordan Love? Nay, they traded up to draft Jordan Love. When Aaron Rodgers is still slinging it and we're one game away from the Super Bowl? I don't know.
There's a lot of poetic justice in that, right? Because A-Raj is essentially going to get A-Rajed, where he did the exact same thing to the great Brett Favre, and now, and I'm not going to say Jordan Love is the next Aaron Rodgers at all, but the circumstances are damn near identical.
Yeah, you don't take a quarterback in the first round unless you have the vision of him taking over at some point.
I saw a pretty crazy tweet tonight too, where it was Brett Favre was 35 when the Pack selected A-Raj. A-Raj is 35 now when Jordan Love is going to enter the mix.
How long did Rodgers sit behind Favre? Do you guys know off the top of your head? Was it 2 years?
If memory serves, it was two. Travis, what you got?
Yeah, I was going to say two also.
Yeah, I think it was 2 years. But, I mean, think about that. 2 years from now, A-Raj is about to turn 38. I don't know. I mean, you look at organizations like that, though, that they're kind of perennially in the mix in the playoffs. And whatever they're doing seems to be working. So I don't know. But, yeah, I would love to see Jalen Hurts added to that quarterback room. I really would. You got DC and Mariota, and then Jalen Hurts, who brings a completely different dynamic than the two of them. And I wonder if he would, and we're kind of going off the rails a little bit, but I wonder if you add him to the quarterback room, if Grudog, that mad genius, adds like a little package for him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say like a Taysom Hill kind of package, because he's not Taysom Hill. He's obviously like a legitimate like pocket passing quarterback who's incredibly mobile and all that stuff. But I wonder I think it would give Gruden a lot of flexibility, and it would be a lot of fun to see him get eight plays a game, maybe less than that, five plays a game. I don't know, a series. Like, I think that'd be kind of cool.
It would be cool, but number four will not be happy if that happens. But we need competition.
Yeah.
Kick him in the butt.
Yeah, and you know what, man? I love the fact that, like, that's actually funny you bring that up, because Marcel and I were talking about this tonight, where we were discussing the A-Raj Jordan Love situation. And Marcel was saying that he goes, yeah, it puts guys in an interesting position where you're essentially drafting someone to take the other person's job. And I was like, is that like a weird space to be in? And he's like, well, you know, and he kind of laughed and said that he had mentioned, you know, the fullbacks that the Raiders had signed or whatever throughout his tenure. And he goes, you know what, man? He goes, the competition, it brings the best out of you. It really does. He goes, it brings the best out of you. And, you know, you can't take it personally. He goes, it's a business, you know, like none of us are replaceable or irreplaceable. Like, we can go, you know, we're one broken, you know, sprained ankle away from never suiting up again. And he goes, you can't take it personally, but you have to rise to that challenge. And he goes, and the competition does bring the best out of you. So I don't know. We'll see. But I don't know. Think about this, KMM. And we're just talking in hypotheticals here, because listen, we're not talking to Mayock or Gruden, but I don't know if Hurts is going to be there in the third. So if you wanted to go up and get him, you got to get to the second somehow, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's worth trading up for, but if he's there like mid-third round, why not? If you've got every position that you need and there's depth there and he's the best player on the board, I don't know. Gruden loves quarterbacks.
Yeah, we hear that all the time, but we haven't drafted a quarterback since the Grudog returned, have we? Producer Trav, can you confirm that?
No, I think we just brought them in for like rookie minicamp
and traded, because we got Kaiser via trade, if I remember correctly. But yeah, we have not.
AJ McCarron.
Yeah, but we didn't draft McCarron. I guess I'm just saying we haven't drafted a quarterback. Yeah.
But Gruden's had the itch for new guys. He wants new guys in that room constantly.
He loves it, dude. He's the quarterback guy. And to be fair, the Peterman is still on the roster.
He is. He's holding it down, third string guy.
Yeah, rocking and rolling. So going into tomorrow, before we get out of here, we're at tentatively pick number 80 in the third round, pick number 81 in the third round, and then if I pull up my notes ever so quickly, KMM 91 in the third round. So technically no second rounders. If you were a betting man, do you think we end up in the second, though, somehow, some way tomorrow night?
I do. I hope we don't, just for the sake of giving us some breathing room on content. But in terms of drafting better players, yeah, I do hope that the Raiders trade up into the second round, and I think they will.
Yeah, I do too. And last one before we get out of here, I just want to talk about something real quick. We saw on the Twitter last night, headed into night one of the draft, and let's be honest, the Wednesday before the draft is rumor city, but there was a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for, action on the Twitter sticks about the Silver and Black getting in the Yannick, in how do I say the last name, Kyle?
Yannick Ngakoue.
Mr. Ngakoue. We were getting in the Mr. Ngakoue business. Obviously, nothing came of that, but he would have been an intriguing guy to see in Silver and Black for myriad reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen reports if those have officially died. So who knows? He still might wind up in the Silver and Black, but
the rumor was for 19, right? Isn't that what we saw, that we were going to ship the 19th pick and get him in exchange?
I think you're correct. I wouldn't have traded the 19th overall pick for him. Personally, he's one of very few players that had all four seasons to start his career. He hasn't had less than 8 sacks, so the production's there. He's consistent, but I don't know. You got Max Crosby, you got Cleveland Furl. You got to let those guys run. So if you're trading a first rounder for a guy who's going to get limited snaps, I don't know if that's worth it.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. And for me, it's for all the reasons that you brought up that I wouldn't have made that trade. And first round picks are just at a premium, man. It's like they're better than gold in today's economy. And Lord only knows, we might be dealing in gold sooner than later. I know Trav's got some gold bars buried underneath his backyard somewhere. But yeah, there is nothing. I don't think there's anything in the NFL landscape that people covet as much as first round picks. I don't think there is. Maybe a franchise quarterback. I'm curious. You think people like a franchise quarterback more or first rounders? But they seem to be on the same. They're on the same playing field for sure. So I don't think you could give it up for Yannick, although the numbers speak for themselves. He's incredibly durable too. He's missed one game in, I think, 4 years. That's hard to do in this grown man's league. But I'm very content that the Raiders did what they did, stayed where they stayed. Now, would I have loved for them to pick up a second rounder tonight instead of having to probably do it tomorrow? Certainly, 100%. But nothing's perfect, baby. And that's why we're doing a remote draft. That is evidence of that. Well, we've done it, KMM. We have arrived a touch before midnight on the first night of the 2020 NFL Draft. We will be back tomorrow. What do you – give me one word, what you're looking for tomorrow from this team.
Ooh, that's tough. One word I'm looking for tomorrow. Optimism.
Love it. Love it. I'm going to say, I guess mine's kind of similar to yours. I'm going to just say depth, because you don't win with 22 good players. You win with 53. We all know that. The Raiders have made dramatic strides in the past 9 months. I think it's fair to say. I think they're a better football team tonight than they were 6 hours ago, but you got to keep getting better. You got to keep stacking pieces. I don't care if they're at positions that you may not traditionally feel like, hey, this is a glaring need, but you got to start getting guys. You got to start getting dogs. You got to start building this thing out, whether it's quarterback, running back. We talked about the defensive tackles, offensive tackles, interior linemen, whatever it is. Go out, hit another home run tomorrow night, Double M. Give me a second rounder, please, please, please. And let's rock and roll. So for Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, the great KMM, engineer Jim, and everyone else that helps us get this little program from A to Z, thank you for joining us on Upon Further Review After Dark. And we thank you deeply, humbly, and sincerely. Sit back, enjoy day two of the NFL draft, and we will see you guys. Well, we'll record tomorrow night. Who knows when the show comes out? It's all a mystery. But we will see you guys later. Enjoy, and go Raiders.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.